we read for you. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. A book by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Read by JP on Wolf Spirit Radio. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
I thought that I would start reading a book. It's a book that was written by a guest of mine. I've just decided to do this, by the way. I mean, I've been threatening it for a long time, but I seem to be in the right kind of mood, and I've got a couple of hours till the next show. So, would you like to come with me on a journey back through time? The book is called Atlantis, the Dark Continent, by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Now, Paul Williamson was on my show Ever Beyond a few weeks ago. First of all, I'm going to go and get a candle, because it's always important to have a story candle, isn't it? Bell, book and candle. Where's the bell? I've got a bell somewhere. Oh yeah, there's the bell. So, let's go back in time. Atlantis, the Dark Continent, by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Part 1, Introductions. Chapter 1, Opening the Door. From the evidence of modern scientific thought, we cannot be sure that the civilization of Atlantis ever existed. But our inner minds tell us a different story. As a therapist, I have been working with past life regression with some of my clients for many years. I do this work either for reasons of self-exploration or as an attempt to help my clients solve their inner problems. When they go through experiences of their past lives, often these experiences can seem very real with a strong emotional and energetic content. Sometimes details of these lives will correlate with other sources about what is known of different periods in history. What can be very interesting is when clients access a past life and give information about times from our past where little is known about this by other means. Many of my clients have regressed to lifetimes where they felt they were living in the land they identified as Atlantis. By comparing the experiences of one client with another, I have been able to build up a picture of what life on Atlantis may have been like. It is interesting how consistent and coherent this information has been. Usually, it has been with my clients who have sought long-term therapy that I've been able to access with them past lives from Atlantis. With these being such ancient lives, it is logical that my short-term clients needing to do past life work would focus on more recent lives. I have discovered though, that often with my long-term clients, it may be an experience on Atlantis that is fundamental to their healing process and may be an important root of their problems. Past life experiences of being in Atlantis can be very powerful and need a lot of integration. Sometimes my clients have needed much time and preparation before they were ready for such experiences. In this book, we're going to focus on the past life regression experiences of Linda Braithwaite and myself. With Linda's regressions, we have gone through a large number of lifetimes covering most of the different phases of the history of Atlantis, including different aspects of life and society and how people lived then. Linda's experiences also illustrate the kind of psychological challenges many souls incarnating in Atlantis faced. Linda has helped me so that I could access some of my own lifetimes from this period. This has been an interesting, illuminating, and sometimes difficult process for me, but I hope that by sharing some of my experiences, this will shed a different, additional light upon the nature of Atlantis and its people. In addition to the experiences of Linda and myself, we'll also refer to Atlantis regression experience from Lynn Williams and Denise Gardner. Linda, Lynn, and Denise all came to me independently of each other, seeking help for different reasons. Eventually, all started to access lifetimes from Atlantis, and this coincided so that I was seeing each of them from these particular regressions during the same period. In addition, all four of us are members of the White Dove Healing Circle, and we have become friends. I feel clear in my own mind that all four of us were guided by some inner purpose and designed to do this work together at the time leading to the writing of this book. There are strong indications that we have all known each other in various relationships in a number of different lifetimes that we shared in Atlantis. As the process has unfolded, there have been various occasions where one of us has helped trigger memories in another. It has been very interesting for me. As I have worked with one of them through a particular Atlantis part lifetime, then without sharing details with each other, sometimes I have been able to work with another of them to go through experiences of the same event from the perspective of a second personality. This has usually coincided very accurately and has helped to build up faith in the reality of these memories. The implication is that these past life memories are not just from one person's isolated imagination, but a collective inner experience. There has been a challenge for me as a therapist in that sometimes I have been able to recognize myself in the midst of a regression experience of one of the others, and this has brought up reactions of thoughts and feelings inside of me. I've had to be very strong to be able to continue to focus upon my client's needs and help her rather than get caught up in my own process. This has been more difficult when the character I identified as myself was an unpleasant one, causing hurt or pain to others. Fortunately, I have received help in being able to deal with these problems, and I will discuss details of this later. Through the recounting of regression experiences to different lifetimes in Atlantis, I hope to show how some of these coincidences have manifested between the four of us. Especially from the more negative lives, our actions have had karmic consequences, and the actions of one of us has tended to affect the others through reactions that have taken place. It seems that there's been a need for us to learn by sharing various interactions with each other, learning to love as well as learning to maintain the integrity of our individual spiritual paths. Of course, many other souls have been involved, but by sharing our experiences, I hope that this will shed some light on some of the possible soul patterns of interactions that exist, and how this occurred during lifetimes from Atlantis. Chapter 2. The Process of Past Life Regression. There are different ways in which people can access the memories of past lives. For some, this is easier than for others. Once a person has started accessing memories of past lives, it is like a door opening, and further memories may be then forthcoming. For some people, past life exploration may be a very important and helpful tool for inner growth and self-transformation. There are many people, though, for whom this work may be neither relevant or needed at all. Sometimes I feel that people may need a certain moment in their lives to access some particular past life memories for a specific purpose in their life. This is individual, and I believe that people are guided when this is needed. Of course, people may not take up the opportunity for past life exploration, even though it may be important for them. Often within past life memories are the roots of our fears and insecurities. It is a natural instinct within people to want to turn away from this. So it does need a certain courage to say yes to undergo regression experiences. The memories of past lives can be accessed in various ways. They can be invoked through hypnosis and guided meditation techniques. They can also come spontaneously through dreams or by resonance when some event in someone's experience has a similar energy to what may be in the subconscious mind as a past life memory. It is very rare for me to come across people who claim to have past lives as famous people. When this happens, I tend to be very cautious. I suppose that some past life memories could be instances of wish fulfillment, or the subconscious mind coming up with symbols to satisfy some inner need. but mostly for people with whom I work, regression experiences tend to be surprising and quite different from what the person expected. In accessing the memory of a past life, people will experience themselves as someone else from who they are today, living in a different time period from the past and acting out some life situation that is different to now. Sometimes this may be experienced in a more detached way, like looking at a scene, or it may feel more like as if they're actually in it and living it. People will have a sense of identity about the experience, that this is me, even though it is obviously not them as their present personality. Guiding people through past life regression experiences, I find it important for them to be as fully involved in experiencing the past life as directly as possible. I feel that the more people are involved in such an experience, the more they will learn. At the same time, I do not want people to go through the experiences at such a deep level of trance that they do not remember anything afterwards and they don't know what is happening to them. I believe that when people need to access a past life memory, there will be a reason for this. There will be a link from the past life experience with the present life situation, and this will need to be integrated consciously. We all have inner senses through which we can experience past life memories. For some people, one or other of these senses may operate more strongly than another. For example, Linda has a very pronounced visual inner sense. She can see the details of a scene or memory very clearly, and she can then draw it. For me, I'm more know or feel and sense at what is happening through a particular memory without always seeing it very well. When I go through a regression experience, I know I can follow this and let the details of the past life unfold. Going through a past life regression can be a very emotional experience. There may be a release of feelings and bodily sensations. This needs to be encouraged and supported, but not forced. Usually, the most important aspect of a past life experience for a person to go through may be where a trauma is involved, even though this may not be very pleasant for the person to experience. However, it is for the release of feelings and thoughts caught up in past life traumas that people can find inner freedom. Because these experiences are from the past, they have no power to hurt the person now. Following on from an intense past life regression, people may continue to experience feelings, thought and bodily sensations relating to the past life for some days afterwards. This is part of the integration process. Sometimes several sessions will be needed to clear all the issues of a particular past life. It is good for the client to understand this and for therapists to be available to support their clients after such experiences where necessary. Usually these thoughts and feelings related to the past life will pass and then the client will feel much better. As far as past lives to Atlantis are concerned, people will tend to experience these regression memories like they would any other. They can be very real, involving and vary, and sometimes traumatic. Just because these memories appear to come from very ancient times does not make them more remote or distant. Somehow in the regression process, memories can be tapped that need to come forth. They can come from periods of time a long while ago and still have as much sense of reality as lives that are much more recent or even present life memories. In fact, I feel that regression memories from Atlantis can be even stronger than more recent memories. This is, I believe, because people from Atlantis tended to be more sensitive, psychic, and spiritually aware than we are today, though not necessarily wiser. Through their collective mistakes and corruption, I feel that the human race lost much awareness then, which we're only just starting to recover. When people tap into their memory of Atlantean past lives, this can aid them to contact the memory of spiritual and psychic capabilities they had then. In turn, this may help to awaken those capacities in the person again today. And doing this may be at least part of the inner reason why the person needs to go through these regression experiences. I feel that this is what has unfolded for Linda, Denise, and Lynn. I believe that they have all become more psychic, more spiritually aware, and at peace with themselves as a direct result of integrating their Atlantis past life regressions. When they have been going through these memories, they have been very involved in their process and deeply affected by all that they have experienced. However, it is the more traumatic and difficult lives that have been the most useful to them and the most liberating. These are the ones where they have been abused, or where they may have abused knowingly their spiritual and psychic powers and caused hurt and suffering to others or the land. I am sure that most people who have had lifetimes on Atlantis would have had experiences like that. I know for myself that it can be very frightening to come close to these kinds of memories. But by hiding from these experiences, we keep up barriers within ourselves, which restricts the extent to which we can feel our wholeness as a human being and soul. Chapter 3. The Roots of Fear. In going through the various Atlantis lifetime regressions of Linda and myself, I have found there to be a mixture of positive and uplifting experiences as well as quite negative ones. I imagine this is quite similar for most people who have lived lifetimes in Atlantis. The happy, satisfying and positive lifetimes can be very useful to go through. These can give good feelings inside and a sense of accomplishment. In my own personal regressions, when these kind of past lives have had some similarity with my life circumstances now, the fact that I feel I have done this successfully before has been very affirming and given me confidence that I am on the right track and I can do it. However, once I have integrated such a regression experience, I don't feel that very much has changed inside me. There is not a lot of transformational effect. With the negative lifetimes, though, integrating these experiences can have a substantial impact on people's lives. This is because in these lifetimes we have to confront our fears. We all have fears inside us, and it is natural that we should want to avoid them, for our fears feel very uncomfortable for us. But they can also weaken us. When we put energy into repressing our fears and trying not to be aware of them, then this energy is not available for us to use as positive living impulses for our lives. We become weaker and less whole. By trying to bury our fears, we can also be denying ourselves aspects of our nature that are very important and useful. Therefore, it can be very strengthening to seek support to be able to acknowledge what we fear and let our body experience it. Then we may be able to let it go. This may not be as easy as it sounds. But the more we fear, the more separate we will feel from all that is most essential to us. In terms of past life regression, it is usually easier for people to go through an experience where they have been victim of some great suffering at the hands of another than it is to experience a lifetime where they may have caused some significant suffering or abuse to others. But usually, if there is one lifetime of one of these, then there'll be a linking lifetime of the other type somewhere there too. It seems that we need to learn through experiencing both sides of the coin. It can be very difficult for us to acknowledge our mistakes. If we do something that hurts someone else, we feel guilt and shame. Deep inside, we do love each other. Therefore, by hurting someone else, we are not really being true to ourselves. This can make us feel bad about ourselves. Of course, we can pretend that we don't love this other person and close the door to this. Then we can cause more hurt, and it doesn't seem to affect us. When we feel that someone should be loving towards us and they are not, it is easy for us to ignore our love for them in our actions. And so, suffering and hurt can be self-perpetuating. But the more suffering we cause, the further away we will come from our inner source of love, and the more we will fear to approach it. In Atlantis, the earth energies were very strong, and people could feel a tremendous power and capacity to do whatever they wanted. This power could give people a feeling of self-importance, and they could become very selfish. It was a great temptation for people there to think only of their own interests and to forget the needs of the whole. From this base, people could cause great suffering to others and the earth, as some of past life stories in this book will show. Going through these more negative experiences can be quite terrifying. As an example, in the case of Linda, she lived much of her present life in fear, not wanting to be hurt, but especially not wanting to cause hurt to others. As she has been given access to memories of some of her lifetimes on Atlantis, that has been almost unbearable for her to face up to the terrible things she did then. This feels so alien as to how she wishes to be now. But she has had to acknowledge that this is part of her. And according to her memories, she did do these things, so she must accept them. As she has been able to accept these memories, she has become stronger and less needing to be afraid now. I have noticed that when people have a strong negative reaction to some aspect of life around them, feeling it is wrong, then often these people may have one or more past lives when they were involved exactly in that activity. For example, I have for most of my life a strong distaste and wanted to keep my distance from anything connected with military activity. Then, in my own regressions to lifetimes in Atlantis, I discovered two lives, one where I was a military commander and one where I suffered in a war, which have helped to explain to me why I wish not to be associated with this. At first, I did not want to have anything to do with these lives, but now I can accept them. We can learn from our past, because what we have experienced in the past has been the building blocks to who we are today. By allowing ourselves to experience past lives where we have generated a lot of fear and negativity, we can bring light and love into the dark areas of our soul. This can help us grow and be happier. I'm going to take a little break. Let's see. Actually, that was quite a good song at the top there, with I Could Turn Back Time. Let's see if I can find something equally cheesy. Actually, not cheesy at all. Air on a G String, the most exquisite tune. Johann Sebastian Bach. Chapter 4. Working with Spiritual Guides. For many years, I've been helping people to make contact with their spiritual guides. I believe that we all have a guide, like a guardian angel watching over us, protecting our soul and helping us to be true to our chosen path in life. Of course, we make our own choices and we don't have to listen to our guide, or as it may appear to us, our conscience. When we don't listen, though, we usually start to get into trouble. There can be long stretches in our life journey where we may be able to sail along with little effort and enjoy opportunities that come our way. But then, at moments of crisis or challenge, we can really need inner help, if only we can reach out for it. I believe that some of us, as souls, set ourselves more challenging life tasks than others. However, when we go off the track and start doing things and behaving in ways different to what our soul wants from us, it can be very difficult to get back on track again. When through our actions we are removed from our soul's purpose, we can feel very lost and alone. The more removed we become from living our soul's purpose, the stronger these feelings can get, and the more likely we are to make further mistakes. Generally, we are given opportunities to find our way again, but once our personality is separated from its soul's task, then it is hard for us to recognize and accept opportunities that are given to us. This is why making contact with our spiritual guide can be so important. Once we are aware of that inner spiritual connection, we can be closer to our own soul, and this can be a tremendous feeling of joy and peace. when people who have lost contact with their spiritual part are able to find it again. This can be very helpful in the soul's growth. In our present age, I believe we are moving into a time when our perceptions as human beings are opening up, where it is becoming easier again to be in contact with the spiritual worlds, so people can learn to be in contact with their spiritual guides to feel their love and accept their help. In Atlantis, I feel that people were also quite spiritually and psychically aware, so making contact with their spiritual guides was not a problem for people then who wished it. But this process is not always straightforward. To make good use of our spiritual guides, we need to be genuinely open to connecting with truth and aspiring to live more humbly and with love. If our will is prominent and we have strong personal desires, this can influence how much we really contact spirit. In such cases, we can think we are contacting spirit, but we are really only confirming the expression of our personal desires. Thus, our contact with spirit in these instances can be quite delusionary. At the heart of our soul is love. So, if people have a genuine wish in their hearts to serve or to help others, then this can help open the spiritual doorways to connect, to contact spirit truly. However, if a person wants predominantly to use spiritual powers as a means to fulfill personal ambitions, then this can be ultimately become quite destructive and not be serving spirit at all. I believe that in Atlantis, people got mixed up between wanting to use psychic powers for personal gain and the wish for genuine spiritual contact. This happened individually, collectively, and on a large scale, causing much confusion and conflict for the souls living then. It was not an easy lesson to learn. I feel that we need to be careful in our modern age, as our spiritual capacities are being reawakened, that we do not make the same mistakes again. Our spiritual guides have a useful part to play in the process of past life regression. When people go through the experience of death with a past life memory, they will usually experience themselves going up to a realm of love and light. It is quite common for them to meet with a spiritual being that seems like a guide who has been with them during the course of that life. This meeting can be very joyful and happy, and through communication can provide much important reflection about the meaning of that lifetime. Our guides are aware of our inner needs, so it may be from that we are prompted to undergo a course of past life regressions, when the time is right. When I facilitate a session of past life regression with someone, I ask for help and protection from the person's guide. People's spiritual guides can help bring forth past life experiences into a person's mind that would be most healing and needed at that time. So, how a particular past life experience unfolds, or how a series of lives emerge, can be spiritually guided, when, as a facilitator, I can support and encourage the process to happen like this, then I feel this will be in harmony with the inner needs of the person concerned. However, people can resist the past life experience that is waiting to be given to them. They may be afraid. Usually, people then need to be nurtured and encouraged gently to allow the experience if they are willing. There is a reason for it. Our spiritual guides will only allow us to experience what we're ready to face. Our guides will know the kind of inner growth experiences that we need. But it's still up to us whether we say yes to this or no. From my experience of working with people's spiritual guides through channeling, I am aware that guides tend to have specific personality traits and interests. There are usually limits to the amount of knowledge that guides have immediately available to them. Often they will confirm that they have lived numerous lives on the physical plane and have now evolved beyond that. So, as a next step, they have become guides to help look after us. They are still learning, and their evolution can go on. Some guides have areas of knowledge where they specialize and where they want to teach. This logically can correspond with the interests of ones they are guiding, but is not always so. Throughout the writing of this book, I worked closely with Linda's spiritual guide, Albani, who seems to have specialized knowledge about the history of the human race. She tells us that she has studied from the spiritual records. Much of what we have learned about the overall pattern of Atlantis has come through her teachings. However, the information she has given us has come forth gradually, so as not to interfere or preempt. Our regression experiences. So, with questions arising from particular regression experiences, she has been able to help us gain a larger picture of what was going on. Linda will tell about her own relationship to Albani, but I have found Albani's influence to be helpful and the knowledge she has imparted fascinating. For me, her input has complemented the regression sessions and has helped give more meaning to them. Later in the book, we will include some passages of channeled teachings from Albani about the overall civilization of Atlantis. Chapter 5. Karmic Responsibility. By studying the patterns of how various past lifetime experiences weave together for my long-term clients, as well as listening to channeled teachings from members of our healing group and my own intuition, I have tried to understand how the process of karma operates for souls. I feel that as souls living on the physical plane, we need to learn about the consequences of our actions. So, whatever we give out with our thoughts, words, and deeds, we need to experience what it is like to receive what we have projected outwards and to become aware on different levels of what we have done. This is not necessarily easy. Because we have free will, we can do really what we want. There are many temptations and influences that can prompt us to be more preoccupied with our own personal needs and less sensitive to the needs of others. So, most of us make lots of mistakes. Our task, it seems, is to be as truthful as we can in our actions, with what we know deep inside, and to act for the best, not only for ourselves, but for all beings. Such a task does not seem possible for the average human being to learn in just one lifetime. It feels as though, to cover all the various aspects of this task, that many, many lifetimes are needed to grow strong and secure in the ability to be true and loving as a human being, whatever the circumstances. As a soul, we want to experience life in all its various aspects. When souls first come to Earth, I suppose that they first need to learn how to survive, how to manage thoughts, emotions, and desires, and how to establish an individual identity without being swept away by influences that are around. As a soul learns different skills and abilities while living on the physical plane, I believe that this learning will remain in the soul and cannot be taken away. So then, when the soul grows in its learning, it may become ready for more challenging tasks, and put itself into more difficult situations as a human being, to learn how to cope and achieve its goals. It is possible that a soul may set for itself a particular learning task for one lifetime, and then for some reason or other, not fulfill that. Then it is very likely that this soul may need to go through another lifetime, with perhaps slightly altered conditions, to try again with that same task, until that lesson is learned. I feel that the development of the soul has many layers and aspects to it that I do not pretend to understand at all. But when a soul needs to repeat a lesson is not learned, it may not be given the task again in the next lifetime, but maybe only several lifetimes on. In the meantime, the soul may develop in other ways. When we make mistakes, this may be very painful, but then it may provide some powerful learning opportunities for us. In my own case, I know that as a soul I am interested in the path of healing, and this is something that I feel has been developing through many lifetimes. However, I sense that I have had to learn what it is like when I used healing gifts to hurt people instead of helping them. I know that there are, a couple of lifetimes on Atlantis where I have done this. So then, because deep inside healing is so precious to me as an expression of love and of spiritual help, these experiences have been very painful to me. Having used my healing gifts to hurt people in these lifetimes, I have had to experience other lifetimes where people were using their healing gifts to hurt me. Then I could feel what it was like from the other side, and that is how it is balanced out. Such experiences make me feel very strongly that I don't want to use healing wrongfully. I hope I have learned my lesson, whatever the temptation or provocation. I can feel, though, that having gone through these difficult experiences has made me stronger. I could make terrible mistakes, and if I have done so and don't want to do again, I'll start again. I can feel, though, that having gone through these difficult experiences has made me stronger. I could make terrible mistakes, and I have done so, and I don't want to do so again. Experience is a great teacher for us. By going through the memories of these experiences in my present lifetime now, it can help me to understand the learning that my soul has gone through. It also helps me to feel a greater compassion for those who suffer, because I know I have suffered through my own wrongdoing. This kind of process can work in a similar way for anyone seeking self-knowledge and personal growth through past life regression experiences. Sometimes souls will go through a lifetime, lose their way, and end up destructively causing a lot of hurt and distress to others. That soul will then need to go through another lifetime, experiencing what it's like to be on the receiving end of that kind of hurt and distress. As much as the soul can accept this, then it may afterwards be ready again to move on further. However, sooner or later the soul will want to go through a lifetime similar to the one where they lost their way, to discover if they can manage such an experience successfully. Because the tendency to lose the way was established the first time round, getting through this may not be easy. Souls can easily make the same mistake again and then perpetuate a cycle of negativity. Once such a cycle is operating, it can be very difficult to escape from this. Each time some hurt is caused, this creates a situation where that kind of hurt will need to be experienced from the other side. Psychologically, this can result in a personality building up huge inner barriers to try to protect itself from pain. This, in turn, prevents the personality from access to its soul. Ultimately, this can result in several lifetimes of intense suffering. Once a soul is going through such a cycle of negativity, opportunities will be given to try to turn this around. Guides will try to help, but this help may be refused. Perhaps the richest and most rewarding life for a soul is when a negative cycle of experiences can be ended and turned around. From my experiences of past lives in Atlantis, the lifetime as a military commander was very significant in this respect. It seems that I was going through a cycle of quite negative lives, and this one could have continued in a very similar vein. But my compassion was awakened, and I ended up following the path of my heart and trying to do some good. At the end of that regression experience, I remember a sense of tremendous relief. Throughout most of its history, Atlantis seems to have had rather a free and permissive society. There were healing sanctuaries, temples, and places of power where people can connect with spirit, with the One and the Spirit of the Earth. But people could easily ignore or neglect these places. There was much beauty and power in the natural energies of the land. People were able to develop their psychic powers and use these powers to help others or for the manipulation. Much of the time, though, there was no strong moral fabric to the society. So, all of this in the melting pot provided a very fertile ground. Yeah. So, all of this in the melting pot provided a very fertile ground for all kinds of corruption and suffering. The possibilities for corruption were a trap for souls living at that time. so were hard to avoid. Chapter 6. Processing Atlantis' Past Lives. Excuse me. The experience of working through Atlantis' past lives can ultimately be very satisfying, but can also be very difficult. I have found, not just with my friends Linda, Denise, and Lynn, but also with many other clients with whom I have done these regressions, that Atlantis' past lives tend to need more processing and support than other regressions, especially the negative ones. Whereas with most past lives, I can work through these with my clients within one or two sessions, with the more challenging Atlantis' past lives, this can take several sessions. Perhaps it's the psychic sensitivity that people had then. Or just the kind of things that people would do without due consideration for the consequences. However, it would not surprise me if there are many people on the earth today who are still recovering psychically from mistakes that they had made while living as souls in Atlantis. As people start to relive Atlantis' past lives through regression, this can bring it in with deep, powerful, and strong reactions. I feel that the negative experiences from these lives tend to embed themselves firmly within the subconscious mind as strongly held core limiting beliefs and emotional expectation. So, as people start to relive these experiences with regression, it releases much energy, feelings, thoughts, and physical sensations. This can uncoil itself gradually or in a rush sometimes, but certainly a person needs to be quite strong and courageous to face up to this. With these regressions, it is not something where I've been able to confine the effects of it to the actual session where I was working with my client. Often the releases have continued to spill out afterwards. I'll give some examples relating to the experiences of my friends. From one particular Atlantis past life, Lynn suffered from many unpleasant symptoms that lasted intermittently for weeks. As we worked through the different layers to this past life character and how he lived his life, these effects were very physical and emotional. She had chest pains. On some days, for no apparent reason, she also had a very short temper. There were times when she felt acutely depressed, even though she knew she was not depressed from a normal everyday life. On a couple of days, she contracted a high fever and had to take time off from her work. All of this seemed to relate to the past life. She noticed that sometime during the sessions or afterwards, she would suffer from severe headaches. We realized that this was her mind resisting and not wanting to acknowledge aspects of the imagery and memory of the lifetime wanting to come through. As she dropped her resistance and allowed the imagery, her headache would go. But it wasn't easy, because she was afraid and did not want to experience herself as this character. Once, though, the door to this experience had been opened, she had to go through it and complete the experience. Thankfully, we were able to do this successfully, and in the weeks following on from this regression, Lynn felt very happy and joyful. There was one Atlantis past life for Denise which was particularly upsetting. It was one where she had abused the power of crystals. However, in this life, Denise found that there were stark parallels between the events of that lifetime and her present lifetime. She even felt that there were many people who she knows now whose souls were characters in that lifetime then. So, as well as dealing with energies and emotions emerging from the past life itself, this experience triggered repressed memories, griefs, and emotions from her present life. Denise was someone who did not cry easily and had not done so since she was little. But through this regression sequence, bucket loads of tears were released. Fortunately, Denise had the time and space to allow this to happen. So this experience had a lot to do with her coming to terms with her present life child self, and this was triggered at a very deep level. Linda too has had some very strange body sensations and upsets as a result of regression sessions, some of which will be mentioned later in chapters about the specific lives. Sometimes though, Linda has had imagery from a particular past life stay in her mind, and she has not been able to shift it. This has generally been a sign that there is something in this image which has not been fully processed, where there were thoughts, emotions, and fears still needed to come to the surface. Because Linda is so visual, the state of visual imagery in her mind has tended to be a reliable clue as to how her inner work was progressing. For me, it has been a good experience also to process difficult Atlantis past lives, where I would have headaches, feel awful, and be shivering afterwards. It has helped me to be able to appreciate more of what my clients are going through with their own experiences, even though this has not been at all pleasant for me to experience. It is quite common, as I work through these lives of people, that they would skip important moments from the past life experience and not acknowledge them. Linda, Lynn, Denise, and myself have all done this many times in Atlantean past lives. This usually takes place in such a way that the person undergoing the regression is not even aware of it having happened. As a therapist, it is often not obvious to me either. I will be asking my client to go on to the next most important moment in the past life story, and sometimes some vital slice of the drama will be missed and without trace. But usually, it is not possible for my clients to get away with these kind of omissions so easily. Afterwards, they may be left with some uneasy feelings in connection with some aspect of the regression. When this does not settle, for me, it is almost a sure sign that something is likely to have been omitted and not processed fully. Generally, when a lifetime has been fully processed, the person will feel peace. But until that happens, there may be either a need to recover further aspects of the regression lifetime, or a need to explore particular events within deeper psychological layers of the experience. Sometimes a particular event will need to be processed a number of times. If there is a lot of fear involved and it is a traumatic event, the person may initially feel numb about it. So with each occasion that this event is touched upon, more of the energy that is trapped there may be freed, and deeper layers of thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations can emerge. It is normal that people may be afraid of acknowledging traumatic moments from a past life regression. There is a natural, childlike tendency to want to hide from it. Some people do have a choice whether or not to proceed further into one of these experiences, and they may choose not to do so, or wait some time before they feel strong enough. Linda took many months to process fully her Atlantis past life with Sophira. Initially, there were many parts of this lifetime that she had missed out. And then, as we started to recover those missing parts, we discovered that those overlooked experiences were progressively more awful as we came to deal with them. She needed an enormous amount of trust, both in me and herself, to acknowledge the worst moments in this lifetime. For the experience felt so alien to her as she is now, even though, as she became open to it, she had to incorporate this experience of part of herself. Another challenge in processing past life from Atlantis, or past lives generally, concerns the identification of souls from a past life as people whom you may know now. I have become increasingly aware through regression work that most of us have a group of souls around us whom we tend to meet over and over again. As souls, we may be part of a group who love each other very dearly and may want to help each other evolve. Then there may be another soul with whom we get entangled, say through some trauma, and this soul may not really belong with us. It may take many lifetimes to sort out things with this soul to become free from each other. Then perhaps, through love, the two souls may choose to continue to associate with each other or part from each other, depending on what feels right. However, Some caution and care needs to be given when it comes to the identification of souls. There may be an element of wishful thinking in this. If we want somebody to have been associated with us in a particular situation from the past, these expectations could colour and affect our perceptions. On the other side, our perception may be correct, but the person we identified may not want to know about it and may deny that anything like that is true for them. So we need to be careful what we do when we gain knowledge of this kind. Once, Linda, in a workshop, was allowing me to demonstrate with her to a group the process of past life regression. Linda entered into one of her Atlantis past lives. It was one we had not explored before, and it had quite a traumatic death sequence. Jill, one of our healing group, was witnessing Linda's experience, and throughout the regression, Jill continued to feel strange and sick inside and very uneasy. Afterwards, Jill told me that she wondered if she might have been one of the characters featured in Linda's regression. Independently of Jill, Linda later told me that she felt Jill's energy very strongly as one of the characters involved in the death sequence. She had not wanted to speak it aloud during the demonstration. Usually, I feel, when we sense these connections through our body and our emotions, our perception about these matters will tend to be quite accurate. Another problem can come up when the energy of a past life relationship is released into the present. While a regression experience is being processed, this can be very confusing. The relationship from the past life may be very different from the relationship enjoyed now, and feelings may come up that don't seem appropriate to be expressed in the present life as they once may have done in the past. However, I do feel that generally when a past life soul act identification is made, there will be a reason for this. I feel that mostly it would be wise not to try to close down feelings that are evoked, but to allow them. Then it may be useful for people to seek help from deep inside, from their guide, to know what to do with them. For instance, from her lifetime as Sophira, Linda identified me as the character Shiran, who was her lover in that lifetime. Near the end of that life, Sophira killed Shiran. After she went through this experience, Linda felt great guilt and uneasiness towards me for a long time. It was not easy to console her. However, we have learnt since that there are other lives in which my character has killed her, and the roles have been reversed. Experiencing that has made us both of us consider the need for forgiveness, and I think that both Linda and I are quite determined not to bring suffering like that into each other's life this time around. Often people need help and support to process Atlantis past lives. I encourage my clients to write down their experiences. But it is usually good if there is a friend or someone with them with whom they can share these experiences. Someone who will listen openly and not judge critically. Because these experiences come from a very sensitive and vulnerable place within, it can be very damaging if the friend or confidant is not receptive to what is being told to them. So care needs to be taken with this. Ultimately, the best help may come from within. When people have made contact with their spiritual guides, it can benefit the person greatly to ask for help from this source. Otherwise, prayers asking for help from God or Spirit can do just as well. The act of asking inwardly for help can bring positive responses to enable past life experiences to be processed more fully. Responses may come in the way of helpful thoughts and insights, or sometimes calming and healing energy. Spiritual healing is another form of help that can aid greatly in the integration of past life experiences. This can help settle the person's energy system and bring calm and peace. It is on deep levels of our inner consciousness that Atlantis past lives need to be processed. I feel that we need to be loving and gentle with ourselves to enable this to happen successfully. But the rewards can be tremendous, bringing peace and fuller understanding of ourselves and life itself.
Atlantis, The Dark Continent, by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Read by JP. You're listening to Geek Squad. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.